You know, as a kid growing up, Christmas is a very exciting time. You know, all the things that kind of go around it. As you get older, you know, some things kind of change, some traditions and different things. But, you know, once I became born again, it really changed my whole perspective about Christmas. And, you know, I was so excited, you know, once I really found out the truth. I knew informationally about Jesus Christ, but I never had, you know, a personal revelation of who he was. You know, I never got saved till I was 24 years old. And I didn't get saved in this state. Had to go to Denver. Nobody told me how to get saved in Albee, Iowa. So I, when God saved me and gave me a heart to serve him, you know, one of the things he dropped in my heart is come back here later on and start a church so we can help people and help them to come to know the Lord. So how many people here travel very far for Christmas? Anybody? Nobody? Everybody going to stick around? Good. I used to live in Denver for 9 years, and like I said, that's where I met the Lord, and I used to come back for Christmas, and, you know, some people travel a long ways for Christmas to get together, and for me, it was around a 700-mile trip, give or take, from Denver, and it used to take me about 12 hours, give or take. You know, the speed limits, they lowered them. There was a gas shortage back then, and so you couldn't really drive as fast as we enjoy driving now. So like I say, it was about a 12-hour trip, and you know, I'm glad I didn't have to go by camel. And that's what we're going to look at today, the story of the Magi. The Magi, we don't really know exactly how, where they exactly came from. There's a general vicinity. So it could be anywhere from 600 to 1,000 miles. So basically traveling to Denver, give or take. And that would take a while going by camel. You know, I think I don't know if I rode on a camel up in Des Moines at the zoo one time. Maybe it was just the kids. But I remember when I was in Egypt one time, I rode on a camel. You know, it was all right. I can't say I'd want to go on a long journey. But that's all they had for transportation then. And what amazed me is the fact that these magi, and what they would do is they would study the stars. And they had noticed the special star that had come, and they chose to go after it. I can't say that if I seen a star over Denver, I would not hop on a camel and go there. But God must have spoke to them. And these guys weren't even Jews or Christians. I mean, Christians hadn't started yet, but they weren't Jews or anything. They were just a foreign tribe of people who had saw something. Evidently, God had spoken to their heart, and they decided to go, and they didn't really have a formal birth announcement. You know, from Mary and Joseph, hey, we got a baby. You know, how you have, you'll come over and see the baby. No, they had something that God had showed them specially. And I think we can learn some things today because their goal was to find Christ in their Christmas journey. And that's what we're going to look at today is a Christmas journey. And hopefully we all will take that trip. Now, we're going to read a passage today. It's a fairly long. It's Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, but it's the story of the Magi. It's not all of it, but it's the main part of what we're going to look at today. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod heard Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before him until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell to the ground, and they worshipped him. Then they opened up their treasures. They presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned by God in a dream, did not return to Herod, the Magi, but left for their own country by another way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time together that we have. We pray that the Holy Spirit just brings life to this message of the story of the Christmas child. We thank you that, Lord Jesus, we have come here today to fall down and to just to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come. I thank you for everybody's obedience to want to be here today. Lord, I pray for the gifts to be in my life, just stirred up that you put in there, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from stealing the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so following a star. You know, like I said, that's a big act of faith to me. You know, like I said, I don't know that I would do it. And really today, we have a lot of people that follow stars. They got their Twitter and YouTube channels, all these things. People are really into that. You know, sports stars, they really carry a lot of weight. You know, just because so-and-so has a shoe, you know, kids want their parents to go buy them $250 tennis shoes. They really don't operate any better than the $80 kind. But yet, Ben's that star, endorsed them, they want to be like that. A lot of music stars out there, a lot of people want to be like them. I always wanted to be a music star until I heard myself sing. You know, back in the day, you know, I always thought I was going to be a rock star when I was a kid. You know, and then tape recorders came out. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have tape recorders when I had this idea. But tape recorders came out later. And then once I heard myself singing, I became an electrician. You know, I figured that'd be better. But all these things, you know, people want to follow things. But I don't know about you, but would you hop on a camel and follow a star in the sky? Or maybe a horse today, you know? I don't know if I would. See, the Magi, they were astrologers, and that was kind of their business. That was their strength. And maybe that's why God spoke to them. And who knows, perhaps, you know, the Jews had been taken captive and went over into that area because Nebuchadnezzar and different ones, you know, had captured Jews and took them. So maybe some of the information about how they was waiting for a deliverer, maybe that was the seed that was planted in their mind. But for whatever reason, what amazed me is that they're the only ones who saw the star that's recorded in the Bible. And that's kind of interesting. These people that were somewhat 700 miles away could see it, but people who are just next door missed the whole thing. And I think that's what happens sometimes in our life. Sometimes we just miss the really important things in our life. And why does that happen? You know, basically, they weren't looking up. Are we looking up today? Are we looking up to God to try to find the answers for the life that we have? I think sometimes we get so busy, and what happened with them, they were too busy living life, they missed the true life. And many of them fell short, and they never was entered into the kingdom of heaven because they missed the greatest event that had happened to that date, was the Messiah being born, the God-man, Jesus Christ. They called him Emmanuel, God with us. And they totally, it went just past them. And sometimes, you know, life can get overwhelming. And I know many of you just talking, if you talk to anybody, how's it going? Busy. Right? Busy. Just busy. You know, I got all this going on. I got this going on and that going on. I'm doing this and, you know, just stretch so many different ways. And see what happens when we allow that spirit to overcome our life, it holds us back from really resting in God and we miss out on really what He has. So the Magi, what they did then is they loaded up. I kind of think of the Beverly Hillbillies. I can't get that image out of my head. The old Jed loaded up the truck and, you know, took the family. Well, they just loaded up and they took their treasures. They wanted to get a gift. And they wanted to go worship this king or see what this was all about. I mean, they had no clue if they was really, going to find him. I mean, I don't see stars, you know, that far away. But anyway, God must have really spoke to them. But along the way, something happened to them that happens to us. The next point is that they lost their way. They lost their way. And that can happen. Even though God was leading them, evidently, the star disappeared. And so they just went where they thought they would be, and so they had to stop to ask directions. Anybody stopped to ask directions before? See, now we don't really have to, technically, unless your battery's dead on your phone. You know, but back in the day, when I went to a new town or was something lost, I would go to a gas station. I don't know if my parents taught me that, but somehow I figured that gas station people knew everything. They knew where anything was in town. And so I would always go there and stop. And yes, I wasn't too proud. A lot of men are too proud to stop for directions. I won't. I'd rather kind of find out where I'm going. But, you know, the logical place for them to look for a king is they went to the palace. And that seems logical, doesn't it? Here you're going to hear God is announcing that I am bringing a king into the world. And so the most logical place you would go is the place where kings hang out. And so what they did is they went there, and nobody knew where this Messiah or this king was going to be. They didn't even know he was around. And see, well, I have to understand, I don't want to be somebody that spoils maybe your Christmas theology, but the Magi never made it to the stable. They never made it there. You know, only ones that were there were the angels and the shepherds and some animals. The Magi, like we said, had come to a house, as we read in the scripture. So Mary and Joseph evidently found lodging in Bethlehem and stayed there a little while and had come to that place. So, but when they told King Herod, where's the king? I don't know about you, but would you go to a king and say, where's the king at? I'm the king. No. You're not the king. And Herod was not a nice man. He put a lot of people to death, so I still can't believe they asked him that question. They evidently didn't know about his reputation. But what it did, it stirred him up on the inside. And he started to really try to make it look like he really wanted to come and worship the king and things like this. Because what really did it to him is, see, Herod wasn't, he was a half Jew. He was half Jew, half Idumean. I don't know if I said that last word right, so don't quote me on that. But he had been appointed by the Roman Senate to be king. So he was an appointed king by the government. But all of a sudden, that scripture, the way it's worded, where is the one who is born king? Like right now. Jesus wasn't born to be king. He was born king presently. He was born a king. And that just totally freaked them out. So Herod probably thought his job was on the line, and so I need to deal with this problem. And later on, we didn't read this part, we're not going into it, but the Magi chose to slip away another way because God had warned them. So what Herod did is that he went and had every male child killed in Bethlehem that was under 2 years old. Just had them slaughtered. Because he asked the wise men, I'll interchange wise men and magi. The wise men, you know, when did you see this star? So they told him about the time. So then he mathed it out in his head. So evidently he knew that he had to wipe all these people out. He didn't want any competition. And see, that's what the devil does. And the devil's done that all through history. He also did it to the children of Israel. Remember when the Egyptians took them captive? And they were making bricks and things like this, and they were starting to get so numerous, and the Egyptians, because the blessing of God was upon them, so the Pharaoh got afraid that the Jews were going to rise up against them and overtake, so he had them kill all the babies. Kill the babies. See, that's what Satan does. Satan tries to take life, while God came to give life. And that's why we are such a battle in our culture today, in the pro-life movement, wanting to see babies, you know, spared from what they go through. But fortunately, we believe, you know, they're with Jesus right now, but still that doesn't make it right. So when they searched the scrolls, they found that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem, what it means is house of bread, and Jesus said he's the bread of life. So he's the bread of life. He's the life that you and I all need. Now, what amazes me is the fact that how God did this, and maybe Amanda alluded to it a little bit when she was talking there, is that how innocent a baby was. You know, God kind of rolled the dice, and he put all his eggs in the Jesus basket, which we know God's foreknowing. He knew it was all going to work out anyway. But the idea that this baby had come and would have to grow up and to be spared. And we know God did a lot of different things. You know, God spared him when the Magi went the different way. And also, Mary and Joseph went off to Egypt to protect the baby. How God put all his faith in the fact that this baby was going to grow up because it had to be done that way. That Jesus needed a physical body that comes from this planet to be able to redeem mankind. So what happened here, back to my message, is the idea that God started him off in the right direction, and then the star went dark. Now, if you've ever followed Jesus in anything in your life, you probably have come to surmise this happens every now and then. God will speak to your heart. He'll tell you to go do something, step out in some sort of ministry, or step out and do some new project. And then after you step out, it just seems like, you know, the star's taken away. And you can't really maybe see God's leading in the whole thing anymore. And that's a hard place to be, but it's really the best place to be. Because that's when we grow the most. See, sometimes God will just give us enough to get started, and then the rest will come a little later on down the road. And, and that's the faith journey. You know, God had stirred them to launch out with just enough, and then as they started to proceed, they started to lose their way, and that's why they went to the palace, like I mentioned. But it's when we lose sight of God and then we choose to keep going, that is when our faith grows the most. A lot of people pull back. A lot of people quit. Well, God, I thought you were in this. And I'm sure that the Magi, when they're out in the desert, you know, and they're trucking right along in their camel, and they're about halfway along the way, and all of a sudden, you know, they're just going, I don't see the star anymore. Are you sure it was over there? Did I really see a star? And I think that we go through the same thing. God, did you really tell me to do this? Did you, you know, really tell me, like for me, God, did you really tell me to start a church here in Albia, Iowa? I mean, everything just didn't fall in place all the time. I'll be honest with you, I lost a little sleep over the deal sometimes, especially when we built this building. I mean, it just, I took too much of the stuff away from God that he was supposed to carry, and I tried to carry it myself, and I couldn't handle it. And see, there's a lesson there. There's certain things in life that God is only supposed to carry, and we need to let him do that. But see, as we go through life, we maybe lose sight of really exactly what God told us. That's why we need to, and you can write this down, I hope you do. If God told you to do something, keep doing it until he tells you something different. And don't change. Don't stop no matter what. And you're going to find the place where you need to be. The star is going to reappear to you. But what happens in life is that when things get hard and things get really difficult and we kind of lose our way, we just kind of want to shrink back. And the Bible says in Hebrews, don't be like the ones who shrink back to destruction, but press on in faith. Just trusting God. Believing God's going to bring you where you need to be. Because you have to remember, God's on your side. God does not want you to fail. He wants you to accomplish everything that he's called you to do. Now, one thing that I learned also when, you know, like I say, when we're in that desert and it gets kind of hard, is that the good news is that they weren't traveling alone. They had each other. And there was probably more than three. There was probably a large group of them. And see, don't do life alone. Don't travel alone. Because then it's easy to get discouraged and pull back. Find somebody to travel with you. Find somebody to go on your journey. I thank God for my wife. We are opposites in a lot of ways, but we're not opposite ones it comes to God. You can't put a thin knife in between our belief system of what we believe and what we know that God's called us to do. And you need to find people in your life that are going to be a support to you and to pick you up and not put you down. So find others. Let others into your life. Let them come on your journey so that you will be able to accomplish everything that you need to do. Now, last point I want to look at is to fall down and worship. Fall down and worship. And this is where they got back on track. See, they'd asked Herod, and you know, he was trying to weasel information. I don't like weasels. I don't know about you, but you can tell when somebody's being a weasel, you know. But he was doing that and, you know, trying to get that. So finally they launched out again, and Bethlehem was only 5 miles from Jerusalem, so they were close. You know, they missed it by that much. You know, have you ever heard that one? But anyway, that's an old TV show. You guys are all too young. But Get Smart, remember him? Oh, well, never mind. They were close, but then once they got headed the right direction again, the star appeared. So maybe you've lost your way, and you just need to get back going that right direction, and then God's going to give you the information that you need. So after they had started that, then the star appeared again. You know, they had been looking in the palace, but once then they got on track, they got to the place where God wanted them, and the star of all things led them to a house and not a palace. Not what they expected. What do you do when you're following God and you end up in a different place than you thought you would be? I'm that person. I never wanted to be a pastor. I thought, boring. I wanted to be an evangelist. I wanted to be a missionary and go around the world. And I did a little bit of that and I enjoyed it. But, you know, God really spoke in my heart to do this. So what do you do? Go do what I want to do all by myself or go where God wants me? You know, I never believed I would come back. I never believed I would be right here. But see, what do you do if you've been believing God and you have, how many's had it all mapped out? I mean, how this happens, you know, a lot of girls have these fairy tale weddings and all that mapped out in their head, you know, and, you know, Prince Charming's going to show up and, you know, and then end up with somebody like me. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not a Prince Charming. I know that. I've checked that off my list already as not that person. But see, what do you do when you end up with something like that? What do you do when you don't end up where you really planned out that you want to be? You know, was Jesus any less of a king because he was born in a manger and lived in a house and he didn't live in a palace? Was he any less of a king? No. Why? It wasn't where he was at. It was what's in him. Are you any less of a child of God because you may not feel you measure up to other Christians? No. It's not what's outside. It's what's inside. Amen. And see, that's what we need to remember. The treasure is inside of us. The treasure that God has put in there, that life that he's put in there through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may not be perfect. We may make mistakes. We may, you know, miss it sometimes. But it's not because of our performance. It's because of the King of Kings that lives inside of us. And we have to remember that. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. And then that's going to help us to be able to accomplish great and many things for his glory. What I want to see is that we need to do it like the wise men did it, or the Magi. See, they were probably fairly influential people to some degree in their own right, in their own country. You know, it still amazes me that they'd want to go worship somebody else's king and not their own. I don't know if they got in trouble for doing that, but what happened is that they probably had some helpers, and they could have just sent the presents, but for whatever reason, they wanted to be in his presence. And that's what we need to see. We need to be in his presence. You know, this time of year where everybody's focused on things and gifts. And so what they did is when they got there, it's not what they expected. They fell down and they worshiped him anyway. See, it doesn't really matter what our circumstances are or what our situation is in life. Fall down and worship anyway. Don't make excuses. Look for solutions. You know, I can tell when people are making excuses in life. Ask them certain things and, you know, just don't line up. Don't be an excuse maker in life. Look for solutions. Make a way. Find a way. You know, maybe you're here today and you didn't get the job that you wanted. What do you do? Fall down and worship anyway. He's still king. He still is worthy of our praise. Maybe your marriage today is struggling, or maybe you have family situations going on with the kids and you feel that your family's just falling apart. What do? Fall down and worship anyway. Just fall down and worship anyway. And maybe your prayers just haven't been answered the way that you wanted. You've been praying and pleading to God and crying out and asking God, God, I need this. Oh, come on, God, I need this. And what do? If they haven't materialized yet, you just fall down and you worship anyway. Amen. That's what you got to do. Thank you. Just keep going. See, the Magi, I mean, it's kind of weird God would pick these guys from a faraway country who were, lack of a better term, they were heathens. They worshiped the stars. They didn't worship the true God. But God used those people to play a very important role. It wasn't just the fact that they came, and because really, I mean, the fact that, you know, it worked out, I mean, they got a lot of babies killed by stopping off at the palace. I mean, that's just the way it worked out. But what role did they play? You know, they went all that way. But the good news is they didn't show up empty-handed. You know, they came and they offered the baby gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each of those have different meanings to what the Christ child was. But what I believe also is the fact that their gifts protected Jesus Christ for several years. That gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Remember, Joseph was warned in a dream. We didn't read it. You can keep on reading through this passage here. Explains the story more. But God told him that, you know, Herod's going to try to come and kill all the baby boys. And they need to leave. They need to go to Egypt. Well, that was some traveling money. They went there and they could stay in Egypt and until things kind of cooled down a little bit. See, God has everything organized and planned out. He knows our needs before we even know they're there. All we need to do is stay in line and follow Him and keep doing exactly what God wants us to do. Then we're going to start to see the things start to fall in place. See, God has the ability to bring people into our life to be a blessing to us right when we need it. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, I see that firsthand all the time. The blessing that people can be. We'll talk about cursing later. No, there's nobody that's that way here. So as we prepare to live our life and to celebrate Christmas this year, I want us to make sure that we find Christ in our Christmas journey this year. Amen. You know, I know that many are going to be seeking Him. I encourage you just to hang in there. You know, I know as a Christian, sometimes we can, you know, get negative when we see so much commercialism. Don't let it affect your Christmas. I let this hurt me years ago. I got so tired of all the commercial things and that people just kind of kicked Jesus to the curb. You know, as I was thinking the other day, I still remember as probably a third grader, I can still remember the teacher putting up there, Merry Xmas. I thought that was kind of cool as a kid until I know that, hey, they just took Christ out of Christmas. You know, granted, it was easier as abbreviation. But see, people's been trying to kick Jesus out of Christmas for years. Just don't let Him kick Him out of your life. Amen. Let's pray.